sermon outline. What is the title of our message for today? Doing three things well with excellence. All right. For those of us who have been in life sharing and pioneers, we have been looking closely at our purpose statement. And what is it we mean when we say our purpose statement? For those of you who are visiting with us, the statement is at the end of the service. If you want to look along in there and find it. What do we say as our purpose statement as a church? Our purpose is to enter into a right relationship with God and to be equipped for the ministry of Jesus Christ to make a difference in the lives of others. Okay, so we're going to look at that in three in a little bit more detail. Now, if somebody is on your job and they say, my purpose is, they are about to do two things. They are about to tell you what they are going to do, and they're going to tell you what they are not going to do. A purpose gives us focus as to what it is we are to be about. Now, if our purpose is to win a game or to graduate from high school or college or to find a job, how many of you know we need a strategy in order for it to happen? It's not just going to fall out of the sky. Now, if your purpose is to win the game on Saturday morning, how many of you know the team is not going to get drunk on Friday night? The two of them just don't go together. If your purpose is to get a job, how many of you know you are not going to spend all day in front of the TV playing video games when you should be filling out applications and trying to secure interviews? Why? Because the two just do not go together. Now, we say our purpose is to enter into a right relationship with God. This automatically means because of what we desire with God, there are some things we will not do, and there are some things we are going to do because they are going to help us in our purpose. Now, if we are going to enter into a right relationship with God, it means we're going to have to leave something else behind. You cannot enter a room without leaving another room or leaving outside behind you. You cannot enter into a right relationship with God unless you leave a wrong relationship behind you. Now, the biggest entering we have to do in developing a right relationship with God starts with coming to know God as our Lord and Savior. You see, the first thing you have to do is to agree with what God says about you. Now, I know somebody done told you, you sweet, you loving, you the most wonderful person on this entire planet, and you believed it for a moment or two. But that's not what God says about each one of us. God says that all of us are pretty pathetic. God says that all of us have a bent toward evil, all of us have a selfish nature, and all of us have been deceitful at times. We'll take a quick poll here just to see if God is right. Is there anybody here who has never done anything wrong? Okay, Demetrius, we'll talk to your wife right after church. That'll put an end to that real quick. Anybody here never insisted on getting his or her own way? Anybody here never lied or gave deception in any form or manner? Anybody here had to have somebody train you how to be bad? Just came natural, didn't it? So the first step is getting this right relationship is knowing that what God says about me is true. I have broken God's laws, and the penalty for it is to spend eternity in hell. Now, it's important for you to know what the penalty is, because you can become content being in a wrong relationship with God and think that everything is fine when it isn't. Now, the good news about God is that even though God knows me better than I know myself, God still loves me and has made it possible for me to escape hell and to have eternal life starting right now. God wants us to live a different life starting right now. Now, that plan is simple. It involves asking forgiveness for the wrong we have done, accepting that when Jesus died on the cross, he gave his life for me to pay for the wrong that I have done. And that when Jesus died and rose again from the dead 3 days later, he guaranteed that I too can rise to a new life. The first time we enter into a right relationship with God is when we give our lives to Christ and we start to live our lives for God. That's what we mean when we talk about I'm being saved. Being saved is that moment of coming into that right relationship with God. But my friends, that step of getting saved is only the first step. Say first step. First step in being a Christian. If you have not noticed it, being in a right relationship with God is an ongoing process. Because to be in a right relationship with God means that God is totally pleased with you, with your behavior, with your attitude. All of that is above board. Now, if you say that, well, I don't know if I'm in a right relationship with God or not. Just imagine yourself all of a sudden pull up at a table and you're sitting on one side of the table and God is sitting over there on the other side. And you say, God, look at any area of my life that you want to look at and tell me what you think. Now, the moment you say to yourself, I hope God don't look over there too hard, that's where we're not in right relationship with God. That's where we need to have a real talk to God about what it is we are doing, because God knows about it anyways. Now, why is it important to be in a right relationship with God? It is important because you want God's favor upon your life. Say favor. Favor upon your life. You see, when you have God's favor on your life, God does things just because God wants to. God blesses our relationships with others just because God wants to. God empowers us to do things that we thought were impossible. Think about it. Some of you, when you got ready to go back to school for the first time in years, you said, ain't no way in the world I'm going to do it. And today you walking with your degree. Some of you who said, there is no way in the world I'm going to survive living with these kids. You so glad they done finally got a job and sending you some money now. All because of God's favor. God knows how to multiply our finances when we have God's favor upon our lives. We receive blessings we were not even expecting to receive. When we have God's favor on our lives, we talk to God on a regular basis. We feel God's presence in our lives. As a matter of fact, being in God in right relationship with God is the safest place to be in the entire planet. Because no matter what happens, the Lord has your back. Now, you'd think that once we've entered into a right relationship with God, we would want to stay there. And most of the time we do. There is this one little thing, though, that gets us out of right relationship with God, and it's called life. Life keeps pulling us in other directions. How many of you have discovered that thanks to the devil, to temptation, to other people, and our own selfishness, it is fairly easy to get out of a right relationship with God? We have a weakness inside of us that says, now wait a minute, God, you stay right over there while I go over here and deal with this. Anytime we've got to leave God over here while we deal with something, we are on our way to a wrong relationship with God. Now, how long we stay wrong depends on how long we insist on being wrong. Have you ever had an attitude problem that you knew you needed to get rid of, but you was just holding on to it a little bit longer because you thought the other person hadn't been punished enough? Okay, there's a few honest folks out there. All we got to do to get back into that right relationship is to repent. Repentance means asking forgiveness for the wrong we have done, choosing to stop what we are doing, and going in the other direction. Now, there is no genuine repentance if there is no going in the other direction. We might have went through the motions of saying, I'm sorry, but if somebody walks up to you and slaps you upside the head and says, oh, I'm sorry, and you say, I forgive you. Now, the next time that they come up and they pop you upside the head and say, I'm sorry. Some of you are Christians. You might forgive them a second time. But the third time they do it, but some of you already got a baseball bat waiting for them when they come. Because you feel if they genuinely repented, you wouldn't have to worry about that again. God wants us to be in a right relationship with Him. If we are willing to say yes to God, then God will grant us the Holy Spirit to give us the power, say power, power to leave whatever it is behind and to enter into a right relationship with Him. Now, how many of you have sort of prayed inside, Lord, I want you to deliver me from this, but not quite yet? No, we want deliverance, but not quite yet. And because it's that yet hanging on, we still plan it in our minds how we can do this one more time before we really get serious about letting it go. The only thing is, the thing is gripping us deeper and deeper, and it becomes harder and harder to let us go. So the first part of our statement means that each day our purpose is to enter into a right relationship with God. It does not matter where we are or who we are with. Our purpose is the same. So if our purpose is to enter into a right relationship with God, there are some people we just cannot hang with because they will not lead us to our purpose. There are some places we just cannot go because they do not lead to our purpose. There are some activities we just cannot do. You know, if you got a problem with looking at pornography on the computer, how many of you know you cannot be in a room alone with a computer? Sometimes we just kind of set ourselves up. Now, if you know a group of friends going to get you to do a certain thing, the best way to do it is to avoid it altogether. Don't go in there and say, I'm going to rebuke them in the name of Jesus. You rebuke them at 100-yard distance. Hey, y'all, I rebuke y'all down there in the name of Jesus. Much safer to do it that way. There are some things we cannot afford because they will keep us from our purpose. If I'm going to enter into a right relationship with God, get this. I've got to be willing to let Christ live inside of me, even when I am angry, hurt, or upset. If you can let Jesus live in and through you when you are angry, hurt, or upset, you are growing in Christ. Because the temptation is going to be, well, I just laid out my religion for a moment so I can tell you what I want to say. No, when you are angry, hurt, or upset, that's the time to let Jesus show through. Now, the second part of our purpose statement is to be equipped for the ministry of Jesus Christ. Once we enter into a right relationship with God, God wants to equip us to do something specific. All right? Now, suppose a great basketball coach came to you and he said, look, I see something in you. I'm going to teach you how to dribble, how to shoot, how to play defense, how to pass, how to dunk. And that coach spends all this time with you during the summer and the early fall months. And then when it comes time for basketball season, you send out invitations to people. Come look at me. I'll be out there on the court by myself doing dunks, passes, shots, fades, you name it, I'll be doing it. And so there you are doing that stuff by yourself out on the court. How many of you know that is not why the coach equipped you with those skills? What did the coach have in mind? He expected you to come out for the basketball team and play on the team. God does not call us into a right relationship with Him just so that we can shine. Look at me. It's just me and God. We look pretty good together, don't we? No, God called you in order to place you on His team, which is called the church. He then gave you gifts and talents to make the team shine so that God would be glorified and others who are not in a right relationship with God could have the opportunity to enter into a right relationship with God. You see, everything we do is rooted in us leading others into a right relationship with God. God's family plan is for the people of God to bring other people into the family of God, who will then bring other people into the family of God. It is God's will for His church to keep increasing in size and numbers. The whole purpose of being equipped by the church is to do the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus said, "I came to seek and save the lost." If that's what Jesus came to do, then that's what we ought to be doing. You know, those of you who are like me, gifted with a wonderful singing voice, praise God for that amen down there. The rest of y'all get my CD. Your singing voice in the choir is not to demonstrate how wonderfully you can sing. It is to help lead someone to Jesus Christ. So, if you get up here and you sing absolutely magnificently so that the whole church, man, when you finished that last note, we just jumped up in applause and you went out and had to get a drink of water and you walked out here and here's a visitor to our church and you walk right past them and that person is singing, what kind of stuck-up church is this? You just negated your whole purpose for singing. You were supposed to be leading someone to Christ. And sometimes I think some of us got real, real short memories. You know, you stand up here and you sing a song and people think you're real spiritual, and then you go back and you immediately fall asleep during the sermon. Folks is like, how spiritual are you? Or you go back and you immediately start texting all your friends. That person that's sitting around to you said, the biggest bunch of baloney I ever seen in my life. I thank God we don't have any kind of people like that at Glenville. There are some other churches, though, that pastors have told me they had that problem. The ministry of Jesus Christ involves drawing people to Christ one at a time. Everybody here has a gift and talent from God. You are either using that talent to help with the ministry or you are wasting the gift. And if you are wasting the gift, then you are getting out of a right relationship with God. You know, if you gave somebody a gift and every time you went over to see them, they said, oh, you know that beautiful vase you gave me? Watch me break another piece off. Clang! How many of you feeling really, really good toward that person at this moment? Okay, so that's what we're doing with the gifts God has given us. Oh, God, I ain't using this whole thing you gave me. We enter into a right relationship in order to be equipped to do the ministry of Christ. It is doing, it is being. You see, every one of you should get you a new name badge when you go to work. If you are a doctor, put on there minister doctor. If you are a teacher, minister teacher. If you are a student, minister teacher. Because the Bible says all of us are ministers. You see, you are doing the work of the ministry when you let your light shine at work. You're doing the work of the ministry when you take a stand among your friends. You're doing the work of the ministry when you clean up after other people. Some of y'all said, praise God, I've been working real hard for Jesus, if that's what it is. You see, Jesus didn't go through life. All right, I ain't messed up that much. I'm helping this woman do the work of the ministry and she ain't appreciating it like she ought to. If your goal in life is to just make yourself happy and have everybody treat you fairly, you are going to miss a lot of opportunities to do the work of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Do not think for a moment that your ministry ends at the church. Jesus did most of his ministry outside the walls of a building and after the service was over. Now, how do we as a church equip you for the ministry of Jesus Christ? For you young people, you teenagers, True Love Waits equips you on how to have a successful relationship, how to graduate on time from high school and college, and how to protect yourself from sexual temptation through a game plan. I know at times y'all think we don't know what we're talking about, but some of us got enough hard-headed bumps upside us that we really don't want you to make the same mistake just because we made it. Marriage Sensation. Marriage Sensation equips us on the changes we need to make in ourselves rather than simply praying, Lord, please change my spouse. Please change my spouse. I mean, you know your spouse might not ever change. So if the only way you got to make it is if you change. Life Sharing and Pioneers equips you with a knowledge of the Word of God so that you can apply it to your life and have God's favor on your life in everything that you do. Our church equips you with opportunities to use your gifts and talents in various ministries that reach people all over the world. Our church provides avenues for us to give money to causes that lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Every believer ought to be engaged in some way in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, you know something? We only have one life. Tell your neighbor, you're only getting one shot. One shot. And soon this life is going to be over. At 4 o'clock or 4:30 today, we're going to have Mrs. Marcus's funeral. Miss Marcus, this week would have been 105 years old. 105. And if you asked her, I bet she would say, I don't know where the time went to. Those of you who are 80, how many of you believed you would get there that quickly? Remember when you was a kid and you thought 20 was great, did it take you 100 years to get there? Then once you get 20, when you was thinking all them 40-year-old people was old and you blinked three times and you was 45? Now you believe that middle age starts at 60? Middle age. We get ourselves if we want to. We all on our way out of here in a hurry. Now think about all the awards and accolades you have won during your lifetime. How many of you know the world has already forgotten about those? How many of you know you can't even remember some of the things that you got? I remember our football coach when I was in high school said, fellas, this is the last game. You'll never forget your last game. I don't even know who won that game. Don't even know who we played that game. When we die, how many of you know we're not going in front of our boss for one more assignment? How many of you know we are not going to go before our coach to learn one more play? How many of you know we will not be going before the bank president to ask, now, could you tell me how much money I left in my bank account on my way out? How many of you know we are going to to stand before Jesus. He's going to reach out his hands. He's going to show us the holes. He's going to say, I love you so much. Been waiting here for you for a long time. Gave my life for you. What do you have to give back to me? How many of you want to be able to say, Lord, I gave my very best with what I had for the cause of Christ? How many of us already planning to say, well, you know, Lord, if I just had two more weeks, I was really going to get serious, just two more weeks. The third part of our purpose statement is to make a difference in the lives of others. Now, when you got saved, there was such joy in heaven. When you gave your life to Christ, there was a party that broke out in heaven. Now, it's good that you got saved, and they were all happy about it. But it wasn't just because you got saved. It's because you had now joined the family of God, and you were going to be part of the army of God that was going to make a difference in the lives of others. For Ephesians 2:10 says there in an outline, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Which means the moment you got saved, there was already a to-do list waiting on you. Some of us got saved and thought it was time to sit down. No, you got saved and it was time to get up and start to work. The work God had in advance for us to do involved people. And why? Because people are the most important part of God's creation. Each one of you here is more important to God than any planet in the universe. Why? Because God loves people. And if God loves people, if we are to be like God, that means we must love people. Why do we have a campaign in our church for the least of these? Why do we send wheelchairs to people halfway across the world that we will never meet? Why do we care about some little child in the backwoods of Nigeria getting an education at the Rotulu home? Why do we send money into prisons every month? Why do we help you with your rent when you lose your job? Why do we volunteer our time? It's all because with it, but to share it with others. You see, right now in India, there probably is somebody who is praying for their pastor's wife who desperately needs medicine that she cannot afford, praying to God. How does God answer that prayer? God reaches thousands of miles across the ocean, and he grabs just a handful of y'all in Glenville New Life Community Church who every so often puts money in the prescription fund. We then take that prescription fund money, and we take care of people in our church who need help with prescriptions, and we take care of Pastor Darwin's wife in India, Mercy, who also needs prescription. Why? Because we love people. All right? God wants to use us to make a difference. You didn't get your college degree just so that you could have the finest car in all of Cleveland. Well, praise God if God blesses you with a fine car. But God wants you to look beyond that car to how do you make a difference in the lives of others with the degree? That's why young ladies of faith is so important. Those of you who got something to offer, you're pouring yourself back into the girls. Men of arms, those of you who have got something to offer, you're pouring yourself back. You know, as much as you think it was, it is not an accident that you were born in the family you were born in. You say, Pastor Rick, the rest of them folks crazy. They might be, but God knew they needed you to lead them out of craziness. It's not an accident that you work where you work or live where you live. God has placed you as his own personal ambassador there. 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 4 or chapter 5, says, we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. An ambassador represents the country he or she is from. An ambassador says what the leader of the country says to say. Now, what would happen tomorrow if the ambassador to the United States from France got up and said, "Well, I want you to know, I totally disagree with everything President Barack Obama says. Now, here is my opinion of how this should be handled." How many of you know that guy is going to have a lot of free time next week? And the week after that, and the week after that. Unless somebody in France gave him a job. Because he is going to be yanked out of his position. God is looking at the positions he's got some of us in, and I mean, you know, he's ready to yank some of us out of that position because we're not being the ambassadors we ought to be. Now, God has called you to make a difference in the lives of others. You may say, "Pastor Rick, you just don't know these people I'm dealing with." I don't know them. But God does. And you know what? God loves them too. All this time you've been rebuking them in the name of the devil, calling them the devil and everything else. But God loves them too. And I also know that God has equipped you for the ministry of Jesus Christ to be able to love them in that situation. Because if he didn't, God wouldn't be allowing you to be in right relationship with him. And God wants all of us in a right relationship with him. God is begging us for the opportunity to be used by him. When you really love someone, isn't there a desire in you to do something to kind of make that person happy, make them smile? If there isn't, you don't really love that person. You're just fooling yourself. The way we show our love for God is to follow the second greatest commandment, which is to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, part of our purpose this year is loving those whom the world has forgotten. With Haiti, okay, we took up a special offering for Haiti today. But you see, we didn't have to have an earthquake for us to start loving our brothers and sisters in Haiti. We have been supporting a Haitian ministry for the past 10 years. Before we began remodeling this building, we took $17,000 as a tithe off of the first $170,000 when we raised, sent it to Haiti so that they could build their building before we did our building. Our love does not have to wait for a tragedy to strike. And we're going to still be there with the brothers and sisters in Haiti long after they're not on the news anymore. Each one of us here today is making a difference in the lives of others. Each one of us is making a difference in Glenville New Life Community Church. Each one of us is making a difference in the kingdom of God. But at some point, we need to sit down and ask, now just what kind of difference am I making? Let me ask you this. Is your home a kinder place because you live there? Is our church a more loving place because you are a part of it? Is the kingdom of God advancing on the devil's territory because you are in it? Now, if the answer to each of these questions is not yes, then we need to go back to that place of repentance so that we can enter once again into a right relationship with God. Because all of our behavior is to spring out of our relationship to God. If we are right with God, everything else has a way of falling into place. When we ain't right with God, we the biggest devils you want to see. A close examination of our lives will show us areas that we need to repent of so that we can have God's favor. And repentance doesn't always mean there's some huge, big sin that you did that you just crying over. It's good that you're crying over that. We also need to take the small sins just as seriously. Sins like irritability, impatience. Now, I am a time clock person. You can bet your life, if you tell me to be there at 6, I will be waiting for you at 5:55. Okay? I will be there. I am married to a woman who lives in another dimension when it comes to time. Absolutely wonderful woman, but has no concept of time. She's the only person I know that can be at 271 at Mayfield and say and genuinely believe, just give me 6 minutes and I'll be there. And she knows she's stopping at Applebee's on the way home to grab some biscuits. Now, the good thing about me is you can depend on me to be there. The bad thing about my personality is it leads to irritability and impatience on my part. Sit down, woman. Okay, so I don't need to go confess my sin of being a dope dealer on the corner. That ain't my problem. My problem is, how do I deal with my lack of patience? How do I deal with my irritable spirit that just takes me right out of a right relationship with God and with just about everybody else at that moment in time? What Pastor Kelly say she wanted to hear Pastor Toby? Pastor Toby, they want you upstairs for something. Now, I have to confess my sin of complaining, of irritability, of impatience. How many of you know, none of those things make my home any happier? Does not make my church any stronger? Does not advance the kingdom of God in any direction except backwards? Our purpose statement is not something that merely belongs up on the wall or in the bulletin or somewhere tucked away in the corners of our brain. Our purpose statement needs to be in the front of our lives on a daily basis so that we can see, am I getting out of a right relationship with God? Because if you are, you're about to mess up somebody else as well. Our purpose statement helps us to refocus on our lives on what truly matters in life. And what truly matters in life is being in a right relationship with God so that we are equipped to make a difference in the lives of others for the cause of Jesus Christ. My friends, we only have one life to live. What purpose are you going to have before it's all over? What do we declare our purpose is? Our purpose is to enter into a right relationship with God, to be equipped for the ministry of Jesus Christ, to make a difference in the lives of others. Let's pray.